Have your Bibles, or you can turn with me in your Bibles. I'd like to read to you tonight from the 122nd division of the Psalms, Psalm 122. It's a psalm of David, and one that has been on my mind this week and continues to be there tonight. I pray that what's said about this would be pleasing to the Lord, benefit to you, honoring unto God, and that we might rightly divide the word of truth together, learn and grow from our scripture. Psalm 122, beginning right at verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgments, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. The psalmist says in many places this language, but very clearly here he says, I was glad. He was rejoicing. He was thankful. I hope tonight we come glad and rejoicing and thankful. And he was thankful and rejoicing about something in particular. He was thankful and rejoicing when others said unto him, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." That was a declaration made by those that no doubt loved the Lord, that had benefited from being in the presence of the congregation of those that gathered to worship the Lord. The house of the Lord. And the house of the Lord is the place that our Savior has built. I know there are many applications that might be made to this text, but tonight I think about the Lord's church and how it is the house of the Lord. We are the house of the Lord. Tonight as we gather, we come to the house of the Lord. This certainly isn't my house. It isn't your house. It isn't even our house. It's the Lord's house. And then there's another way we can look at it and say, but it is my house. It's his house, but it is our house. It is the house that he has given us to live in and to dwell in and to come to worship him and to praise him and to learn from him and to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth that declares him. And above everything, to honor him. This is the house of the Lord. Now, it's wonderful to hear other folks say, come go with us to the house of the Lord. To hear them say that. David was glad to say that. As a pastor, sometimes I've tried to encourage people to come to the house of the Lord, and they didn't seem to be that glad about it. As a matter of fact, there have been some that seem to get sad about it. Some seem to get mad about it. But I really get happy when folks are glad about it. When you see folks saying, oh, we've got a meeting. We've got a time that we can gather. We got a gathering of believers. And by the house, we want to clarify and make, and I know you already know this, but the house is not this building. The house, this building is the meeting house. It's the place where the Lord's church gathers. The church is the gathering of the believers, the God's little children that are called out by God, that were loved by God, even in covenant before the foundation of the world, that God has called out of nature's darkness and given light in the Lord. They were sometimes darkness, but now they've been made light in the Lord, and they've been called out of this world to come to a place to worship him. And as we meet tonight, This place has been set aside, not built because men got smart enough to build it or design it, not the work of man, not the work of a group of men, but this is the house that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself built. He said to Peter, and speaking very clearly about that, he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so the house that we're talking about here, being the Lord's church, is not the house that I built, or not the house that my daddy built, or not the house our grandfathers built, or not the house that any of our forefathers built, not even the house that the apostles built. As a matter of fact, the apostles, and if our loved ones were a part of this church, then they were the material that was made up to build the church, but they had to be designed right, made new creatures in order to be properly fit into place to be a part of this building. This building is a building that's kind of like heaven in some ways. We didn't have anything to design heaven or make heaven. That was the work of Almighty God. And we believe that our Father has designed for us a place that when we leave this world, Brother Tony prayed about that, we've sung about that tonight, that there's a heaven that He's designed just right that will fit God's little children. When we die, our soul and spirit will be immediately carried to that place in the presence of the Lord. And then when the Lord returns, our bodies will be made and prepared to live in that place, well, along with our body and our soul and our spirit, and we'll be changed and glorified, made like unto Jesus, and forever we'll be with the Lord. But none of us designed the place, and none of us can get to that place until God does something for us, and that work is solely a work of His grace and His love and His mercy, and when He does it, it's done. And you can't add to it, and you can't take from it. It's what God does. And I'll tell you, this church, if it is indeed the house of the Lord, or any little church, any one of our sister churches, or any church we're in fellowship, or any church we don't even know about, that is truly the design of the Lord. It is the building, just like heaven was built by Him. It was the building made by Him. He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it," which means it will not die out. It will continue on somewhere on this earth until the Lord comes again. Tonight, I hope we are a part and are His church, the house of the Lord. We could be glad about being here, but if we're not really the house of the Lord, we could be mistaken in that. But if this indeed is the house of the Lord, I'm telling you tonight, you and I have something to be very, very glad about. And that word really means to rejoice in the Lord about. What a privilege it is to come out of this old troubled world for a little while and come to a place where we're not going to talk politics, and we're not going to talk about the economy, so to speak. We're not going to talk about the this or that. We're here tonight to talk about what the Lord has done for His people. We're here to give glory and honor to our Heavenly Father who's ruling and reigning today in righteousness. We're here to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're here lifted up. This verse doesn't say, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go up." But there is another verse that does say that. And that's a real good verse. And of course, every verse is a good verse. But this one says, "Let us go into." I'm glad tonight we came into the house of the Lord. I'm glad that there were others who said it. I'm glad we could say it, and it's a good thing to say it to one another. We should rejoice when we hear it, when others say unto us, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I'm sure glad there's a house of the Lord to go into. I'm sure glad we and thankful that the Lord loved us enough to give us a place in this world, aren't you? to where we can come and learn and grow, and where we're taught a little bit about how to keep that old man and that old woman down, and to be better able to put on the new man and better able to walk in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And may peace reign where we gather in the house of the Lord. That was certainly the prayer that was offered. Over in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, writing by inspiration of God in Isaiah 2, talks about going up into that place. In Isaiah 2, he says this, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the last days." Now, there's some people wondering, when are the last days? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2 and 18. You'll get the language real clear there in 1 John 2 and 18. You'll get the language of when the last days are. And that has meant a lot to me, seeing and getting that verse. It says this in 1 John 2 and 18. He says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Guess what? We're in that last time. We're in it right now. So somebody said, when's the last time coming? Well, it was already there in the days of John as he wrote this by inspiration of God, and we're still in that time. We're living in that last time. And the good news about that is this wonderful promise that says it shall come to pass in the last days. That's when the Messiah came. That's what it's talking about. "That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." In other words, he said, "I'm going to put a place in this earth that's above every other place. I'm putting a place that's more important than any other place." There's a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom that Jesus brought here into this world that he said, "Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," that supersedes and is above all authority and everything else on this planet. It's a place he's given us as his children. Now, not everybody can see that, but God's little children can see it. And and that place has not been... What Jesus did wasn't done in a corner, was it? What the apostles taught wasn't done in a corner. They said that. And what Jesus did, he showed unto the world. There are those in this world that love Jesus, and there are those that hate Jesus. Very few people don't know about him at all. Most people know something about him. Some of them know about him and love him. Some of them know about him and hate him. And those that are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are either... Many people might love them, but many people might hate them. And certainly this little kingdom, this church that he's put in this world, for the most part, those that are truly following the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, it has been identified as a little flock. "For it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." Tonight, if we're blessed to see this place, don't let it bother you that there aren't crowds here tonight. Don't let it trouble you that the majority, even I believe of God's children, listen, I believe there are far more of God's children out there that have not come to see this wonderful place that are show evidence of being God's little children than those that have seen it. I see the evidence in them of the fruit of the Spirit that shows that they have life in the Lord Jesus Christ, but many of them don't understand the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, that you and I have been blessed to see tonight. If indeed you've met tonight for the purpose of worshiping the Lord, it's a great, great blessing. And it's a place of peace. It's a place of rest. It's a place to learn how to live. It's a place to learn what true prosperity is. It's a place to learn what true peace is. It's a place that will give you a poor little hungry troubled soul can come and find a gospel that will fit their troubled heart. And we're able to come, as we said, come and dine and feast. Come and hear. Come and see. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Are you laboring? Are you heavy laden in this world? Listen, in coming to Jesus, you come and walk along with others of God's little children. Come, so where are we going tonight? Well, I'm going to talk about the Lord. I'm going to sing to the Lord. I'm going to sing with others of God's children about the Lord. And what do we want to hear? Do we want to hear all the trouble that's going on in this world? No, we want to be away. We want to be away from that. If we bring that in, we'll have trouble and heartache and problems. Now, can it help some of those troubles? Absolutely. Ye are the salt of the earth. And you are the light of the world. And those answers, as God's little children are taught them in the house of God, and they take them out and carry them with them, and they are a benefit and a blessing. They act like salt, which is a preservative, and they act like light, where it shines in the darkness. And just a little light can lighten up a whole lot. You know, I've learned that from sleep. If you got a little light on, it bothers you sleep, because a little light is a whole lot of light. Even a light from a Fitbit, if you roll over the wrong way, it seems like it'll light up the room, you know? And you think, well, boy, I don't have much light. If I'm the light of the earth, I'm the light of the world. Now get this, you wouldn't be a light and I wouldn't be a light if there wasn't the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. And the light that we have, we are not a light source, we're a light reflector. And that's a big difference. A light source is the creator of the light. Listen, there was one who made the light. And He made the light before He made the stars and before He made the sun. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He is the one that has made you as a little child of God light. Ye who were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord. And then Ephesians tells us, go walk. And that's what I'm saying tonight. You walk. Walk how? You can walk like you're in the dark, because we do sometimes, don't we? You ever do that? You're walking along, you look like the world, you act like the world, you talk like the world. When the world grumbles, you grumble with them. When they get down in the mire, you get down in the mire with them. When they do act all ugly, you act all ugly back. But remember what Jesus said. We're supposed to act differently. How do we act differently? I'll tell you how you act differently. You follow the light. And the light is the one who has given, He is this word that He's left for us in the Bible. It is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. But it's not a light and a lamp when we leave it on the shelf and don't put it on and don't wear it. One of the parts of the armor of the Christian soldier, the one who's a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what the word Christian really means. It's just not a name you take. It's not a title you say. It's not something you know, you can take that name, but not eat his bread and not wear his apparel and just use his name to take away your reproach. But listen, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ means to listen, to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Now get this. If you're a follower of Christ, are you going to be meek and lowly in heart? Well, if He is, that means what? We are. And if I'm not, sounds like the old man's ruling, doesn't it? Or either I don't have a new man, because somebody might say I'm this and not be that. But I'm telling you, when you see that humble, contrite, broken heart in someone, and when you talk to them about Jesus, it ought to cause them to weep, to think that He loved me enough, He would die for me, that He loved me enough to not only die, but to live again and to come and to be seated on the right hand of the Father, and to give me such a glorious place as His church to come in and be a part of, where I can participate in the ordinance of baptism, where I can participate in the communion service, which pictures His death and His burial and His resurrection, where I can sit and hear the gospel preached and have comfort given to me and fed, and where I can learn how to raise my children and act on the job and behave, and how I can be taught and learn how to turn the other. Listen, you don't know by nature how to turn the other cheek. You don't know how to do that. And I don't either. And if we go by our nature, the old Oots nature isn't to do that. The old Oots nature is to maybe turn his cheek before he turns yours. Or, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto others before they do unto you. I mean, that's kind of like the law of the world. But see, this book gives us another way. And if we say we are followers of Christ and we shut this book and we don't read it and we don't follow it, we're just taking on a name, but we're not eating His bread and we're not drinking His apparel. And when we come to the house of the Lord, we're really not a part. We come in tonight, I hope every one of us come in to feel the least among all of them that have gathered. And come in begging God. As a minister, I hope I'm begging God that He'll bless me to preach, realizing if He doesn't, I can't build this house. I can't keep this house. I can't feed these little lambs and these sheep that have gathered. I don't even know what to say unless the Lord blesses me. I might carry on the same words, but they'll fall on deaf ears and won't reach you at all, will they? You know, when you can feel it, when the preaching is in the Spirit and in power and demonstration of the Spirit, and when it's just a lecture, and a lecture might stir up your intellect and may impress you with the lecturer, but you won't be really impressed with the Lord unless the Lord comes and blesses the preacher. And what really is most important about this house is that God's on it. It's not about me or you. As Brother John often reminds us, it's not about us. It's just not about us. It's about Him. And that's the most important thing for us. Somebody said, well, don't you care about God's little children? Listen, the most important thing God's little children can do in their lives is give honor to the Lord. The most valuable they'll ever be is to listen to what He tells you to do. To walk where He would have you be. To do what He would have you to do. To talk like He would have you to talk. And you and I are given a book to learn that. But we're also given a place for that to happen. And in that place, He's provided us ministers to teach. He's provided us ordinances to show us. He's provided us the fellowship of the believers to encourage us and correct us. Even reprove us from time to time. Which most of us don't like. The old man never likes it. But that inner man is thankful for a faithful. Have you been blessed to have a faithful sister and brother sometimes just tell you the plain truth that you needed to hear in love? And though at the moment it may not admit, you may have thought, well, I wish they'd mind their own business. In reality, God allows you to see that's really what I needed. See, sometimes you're going to feel like the preacher's picking on me if he's really preaching. If you don't get that sometimes, I'm telling you, he's not teaching the whole counsel of God. Because if he follows what God lays on his heart, sometimes God's little children, sometimes the preacher, you may not know it, but the preacher most of the time is correcting himself if it's in a mode of correction more than anybody else in the congregation. And he's trying to teach himself more than anything else. We ought to talk like that because sometimes we say too much yous and not enough us. When I get on that frame, I know the old flesh, so quick can it enter in. This pulpit is not a baseball bat to be swung at God's little children. God's children are not, they're not cattle, they're sheep. And they need leading. They need to be shown. They need to be nurtured. And they need a good shepherd. Now we have a great shepherd. Aren't you glad that we have a great shepherd that's a chief shepherd above all shepherds? But He's also given us under shepherds. And where has He given us that? In His house. He's given us pastors and teachers. He gave us the apostles. Aren't you glad for the apostles? Aren't you glad there was a brother Peter? Listen, without the Lord, though, brother Peter's denying God and he's denying Jesus Christ, spitting on the ground and cursing, saying, I don't even know the man. Without the Lord, Peter's swimming, trying to swim in a place where he's going to drown because he was walking on water by faith. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, he went right down in the water. Without the Lord, Peter's going fishing. Nothing wrong with going fishing. But when it's time to be a fisher of men, he called you to be a fisher of men. He didn't tell you to go fish. Peter is supposed to be a fisher of men. He's been called from the nets. But he said, oh, it doesn't seem like things are working out. You ever get like that? So I think I'll go fishing. And what did he do? He went out there and worked all night long. You know what he caught? Absolutely nothing. Until the Lord told him where to dip his net. Where are you in life? I'm telling you, if the Lord isn't guiding you, showing you where to dip your net, you might be working really hard. But you'll get no true benefit. I won't say that you might not get rich, but I know many a rich man miserable tonight. You do too. You might have the job you had in your mind as a child that you thought, oh, if I get that, I got everything in the world. You could have that and be so empty and cold and barren, you'd just be almost to the point, as some do, ready to just take your own life because you're that miserable. I'm telling you, God's little children, when God's finished with them, they got a broken heart that needs someone to help them. They got a humble spirit who needs someone to teach them. They have been made from the dark light. They have been worked on by Almighty God. And by the way, He hews them out as He did those stones in the temple that were hewn out without a sound of a chisel or a hammer. He works on them, and there wasn't, when they made, all that work was done out there, and then they brought those hewn stones and put them in place to build the temple. I'm telling you, when the Lord builds His church, He does that too. He takes them out of the world. He doesn't bring them in and have us work on them. He's already worked on them. And when they come asking for a home, you look for evidence. Have they been worked on? And if you see they've been worked on, doesn't matter how bad their life might have been. Don't matter how many times they may have fallen and stumbled. Don't matter how much trouble they may have gotten into. Whatever they've done, I'm telling you, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We said, just as I am. Oh, that I have that one blot. All of us have many blots, don't we? So many things that would separate us tonight from being able to sit here in the fellowship. Just think where we are tonight. By the grace of God, if we are what I believe we are, and I believe you believe it too, we're a little band of believers sitting down right now with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and we're in a place where we are worshiping Him like one day. We're doing it in part now, but one day we'll do it in fullness in heaven. And somebody said, well, do you think going to church benefits you? I'm telling you, it's what's made my life worth living. Do you think praying's worthwhile? I'm telling you, try it a while as a little child of God. You'll find, somebody said, I think Brother Mike sent me a little email, said somebody had sent him a Facebook post that said all these silly people praying for rain. And it said that it will stop all these fires. How silly these people are that they're praying for rain. Brother Mike sent him one back. He said, have you looked outside? Of course, this morning it was raining. You know, he said, have you looked at, hey buddy. And you see, you know what Brother Mike was doing then? He was being a light. He wouldn't want me to even say that tonight, but he was being a light. Because I don't know whether that's going to be appreciated or not, but I'm telling you, he was saying, have you looked outside? What's the evidence? I'm going to tell you the evidence. My life and your life is coated with evidence of the benefits of God's little children being on their knees praying. And when I'm in trouble, I want this church praying for me, because this is the place the Lord's put His name in this world. It's a place above all others. Now, is he on the mountains? Yes. Is He in the valleys? Yes. Is he there with us when we're on a hike? Yes. Is He there with me when I'm teaching school? Absolutely. Is He with us when we're driving up and down the roads? Absolutely. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. Where should He be honored? All the time, everywhere. He should be. But I'm saying to you, there's no place like this place to honor Him, because it's the place He's designed for that. And that's why I was glad, not sad or mad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Isaiah says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house. Listen how he talks about it. Tonight we went up to the mountain. Y'all might not have known that. We went up to the mountain. Said, no, the mountain, we can go up on Skyline Drive if you want. Well, we're already on the mountain. Matter of fact, we're on the top mountain there he is. On this earth. Now there's a higher mountain coming. One day we're going to be carried out of here. But in this world, there's no mountain like this mountain. He said that, and really the mountain, it talks about a place of exaltedness, a place of authority. It talks about above everything else, above all kingdoms. Remember that one when Daniel was seeing that vision, and God gave him that vision of all the kingdoms of the world, and then there was going to be that destroyed all other kingdoms, a kingdom that would outlast and destroy all other kingdoms when every kingdom fails. Listen, kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. I pray for our land and nation, but we have absolutely no promise in Scripture that tells us America is going to be a kingdom that continues to stand as it has. I pray that it will, but we have no promise of that in God's Word. But above America and every other authority, we have His church, which, whether that kingdom rises or falls, this kingdom will never be destroyed, because the king on which it's built will never fall or cease to be the king. He's the rock. This house was built on a rock. You know, my house one day and already has got cracks in the walls. I look down and we do everything we can to try to keep it up, and been a lot of money spent repairing some things where it wasn't, the foundation wasn't just right, and where they put up a big chimney and they didn't put a foundation underneath the chimney, and it looked good when they built it, but in a few years, the next thing you know, you got a wall separating from the house and a chimney about to fall. Listen, that's a poorly built house, isn't it? I'm telling you, we have a house in this church that's not poorly built. This church is built upon a rock, and that Christ is the chief cornerstone. And then you have the apostles. You have Christ and then the apostles. And then upon the teachings of the apostles, you've had our forefathers down through the years that have been built into this church, and He continues to add to it as He sees fit. The Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And don't think it's just happenstance that you got a little place right here called Happy Creek Church, or a little place called Robinson River, or Cedar Creek, or any of our churches. It's the church that the Lord Jesus Christ built. And any individual church can come to a place where it's no longer here. So we should never just say, okay, Lord, we know You put us here, we're going to always be here. There's a responsibility on our part to keep house and to do what He's told us. To not say, okay, He's our Father, but we're not going to pay any attention to His Word and just do anything we want to and preach anything we want to and teach anything we want to. Listen, we come to this house, up into this mountain, to hear of the testimony of the Lord. And what is the testimony of the Lord? It's what's written in God's Word. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to the brethren that he would not have them be ashamed of the test of me, his prisoner, or the be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, or of me, his prisoner. In other words, don't be ashamed of the gospel. This gospel, you let a church start getting ashamed of the gospel and start preaching some other gospel. Now, what is that? That's giving the message that salvation comes any other way than through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He is the way, isn't He? He's the truth. He's the life. He's the door. He's the head. He's all we need. He is our everything. I am to preach Him as that. He is not a way, He's the way. He's not a life, He's the life. He is the Lord. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Every preacher ought to be preaching that loves the Lord and knows these in his church, that ceases to preach that, is going to lose its identity and may soon fade away. You might have a crowd of people there, but it won't be a place like that which we have here in this little band of believers tonight. And when you go, you won't be fed. You won't get that nourishment. You'll hear a doctrine that you might have to weed through the doctrine in order to get the good parts, and so much of it it's like a lot of good in the midst of a lot of bad. A little leaven's a whole lump. And so we want to be sure that we're standing as much as we can on the truth. He goes on and he says that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, above everything else. This place is exalted. It ought to be that way in our understanding. It ought to be the most important place to us on the face of the earth. And that's the gathering together of God's children to worship the Lord, because it's a place He's designed for us as His little children to be. Now, does that mean no other place is important? No. I'll tell you what, when you get your priorities right, everything else gets better, doesn't it? Have you found that to be the case? And when your priorities get off, and you're not really going to be a benefit to those around you that you love and cherish until you get your priorities right and seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And then all those things that worry us to death, He said, all those things will be added unto you. That is the things we need for life. All of those things will be added unto you. He didn't say you would go without that. As a matter of fact, He blesses you. He blesses you in your downsetting. He blesses you in your uprising. And don't get me wrong by that. I don't mean for a moment that you'll have everything naturally that you ever want, that you'll never get sick, that you'll never have any problems. That might be taught out in the world, but it's not taught in God's Word. You may even get sicker, and you may have more problems than you've ever seen naturally. But I'm telling you, you'll have a friend in Jesus in the midst of all of those, that you'll find a rock and a help in Him that'll hold your life together no matter what comes. And if you don't have that, well, you can't get times good enough to be happy. Not as a little child of God. Many of you have tried it. I've tried it, been there. And you say, well, I think I can do this and get by with it. You know how much you get by with the Lord? You might get by with the preacher. You might get by as a husband with your wife. Your wife might get by with a husband. You might slip by them, but I'm telling you this. The one with whom we have to do, we must do, that's that great high priest. Thank God for Him that's seated on the right hand of the Father. And you and I will answer to Him as His children, as our elder brother. We'll answer to Him either in this, or as we live here in this time world. Thanks be to God, He won't hold us for the wrath that we would deserve, for the wage of sin, which is death. But we do have some chastisements that come from a loving Father and a loving Savior. He said this, it shall be exalted above all above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Not only natural Israel, but Jew and Gentile. All different. God's people out of what? Every nation, and out of every kindred, and out of every tongue, and out of every people. And they, by the way, are an innumerable company. As innumerable as the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky. Haven't seen too many old Baptist churches that look like that. But I'll tell you what, there's little assemblies that I've come unto that is made up of those. There's God's people again. Many of them out there. But those that come in and see this are really truly blessed to be able to sit down in the house of the Lord while they're living here in this world to learn how it is I'm to worship God, and it's a place of peace. Have you found it to be that? Now, we can bring something else in, but if we do, we won't be following His Word. If we follow His Word, if the preacher preaches His Word, he'll never hurt one of God's children. He might upset them, but it won't be for their hurt. He's going to preach the truth and preach it in spirit and in truth, and it'll be a benefit to them. And that's what we need. Listen to what He says, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up. That's what I wanted. Took me a while to get there, but I finally did. Third verse, go up. You go up. And most time I've learned that when I'm doing my walking, if it's nice flat land, you walk pretty good. But you start going up, next thing you know, the beads of sweat will be popping out of you. And the higher you go up, the more you have to work. The more you labor. And so there's nothing about following the Lord that's easy in the sense of the nature. Our nature, so contrary to our nature. But remember what He said. He said, my burden is easy. My yoke is light, my burden is easy. For a little child of God, you'll need strength in order to follow Him, but He'll provide every bit of the strength that you need. Have you found that? When you look to Him, some people say, I'm going to follow the Lord, and rather than look to the Lord for the strength, they try to do it on your own. You ever try to do it on your own? I'm going to be better today. Oh, when Sharon says this, I'm going to be real sweet and not say anything about it. I'm going to be much better today. I'm going to treat her better. She's been a good wife. I want to treat her better. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm telling you, it ain't long, I messed up again. Won't be long. But when I say, Lord, help me, He'll help me. He'll remind me. He'll work. And then it's done in a way where Gary can't sit at the end of the day and go like, oh, what a good husband I've been. I really deserve something special. No, you'll go like, how good the Lord's been. That we could have a home where there's peace and there's joy and where there's happiness and where there's rest. And I know where it came from. Didn't come because I got it right. didn't come because Sharon got it right, didn't become because any of us got it right. Listen, this little church, if we have fellowship, and I believe we do, if we have peace, we have joy, we have all the things we need, it isn't because of any of us, other than we've looked to Him. Isaiah says that again in Isaiah 26, and I'm not going to get to all this, but I'll give you the verses and let you read them. He said in Isaiah 26, "And that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah." We have a strong city. You hear that? Sometimes we gather just a few of us and go like, "Boy, we're mighty weak." No, not according to the Bible. We have a strong city. What do you mean? This is the church the Lord Jesus Christ built. He didn't build a little weak place. It's built. What is your church built on? Well, it's founded. Now, my home wasn't founded on too good a foundation. That's why the chimney would have fallen over and hit somebody if we hadn't taken it down. We tried to fix it. But even now, I'm telling you, that shifting sand and clay that we're built on over there, who knows? I might be a sinkhole next thing you know with all the cabins underneath us. We never know when that ground isn't that solid, no matter what we think about it. But I'm telling you, the church of Jesus Christ is built on Christ. And that will never be shaken, no matter what. All other kingdoms can fall. This is not going to fall. Because it's a strong city. Whether there's two or three gathered there. You know when it was a strong city? When you got two or three, or when you got 2,000 or 3,000. If 2 or 3 are gathered in His name, He said, "I'm there in the midst." That means we got a crowd. No matter whether it looks like a crowd or not. It's the most important place on the face of this earth. He says we have a strong city. Why? Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Isaiah 26 says we got walls in this city. You know what it is? My walls might get knocked down at home. Won't take much to knock them down. But I'm telling you, you can't knock down the walls of the church, because salvation is the walls of the church. And you know who salvation is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He sounds like He's the whole building, doesn't it? God went a building to prepare, not made with hands. And I'm telling you, He's built one here. We got a bigger, greater building awaiting us in heaven. Oh, what a place that'll be. But what He's given us down here, it's a strong city. And He says, "Appoint ye the gate, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." Now get this, the only righteous nation is the one that's washed in the blood of Jesus. They didn't get righteous on their own. And the only way the gates will be open is if He opens them. He's the door, isn't He? He's the way. And He opens the way. And He says, which keepeth the truth. The only way we can keep the truth, if He gives us the truth, and then it is our responsibility to hold it and to walk in it. And we can enter in then. We don't keep the truth, we will not enter in. We'll lose that blessing. And He says, I love verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. We talked sometime another about Colossians, where he said we were knitted together. We knitted together. We should be knitted together in love, knitted together. The love of God knits us together. If you love the Lord, and you say, "Well, what's the most important thing for me to love?" Well, the Bible tells us that. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. But he didn't stop there, did he? The second is like unto that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'm telling you, when you have a church operating on that principle, number one, the love of God, he teaches you how to love one another. You don't know how to love one another without the first love of God. He's given it, and without His grace first in us, giving us the ability to love Him, we don't know how to love Him. But when He gives us the ability to love Him, we're to put that on and to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And then we're to love one another, and that's going to knit us together. It'll hold you together. When something's knit, it's not just connected, is it? It's knit. It's knitted together. You can't hardly pull something without something else getting pulled. Everything just falls to, you know, it's knitted together. And Jerusalem is built that way. It's built that way. It's a city that is compact, close together, tight, in the Lord. And we're over time. I'm going to stop right here, because if I keep going, I'll stay here longer. It says, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. I got to close with a couple of verses. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. I'm telling you, we have a responsibility to act and behave at this place like it is what it is. It is the house of the Lord. It's His house. We wouldn't go into our mama's and daddy's house and be disrespectful, because it's their house, and we wouldn't want to bring any disrespect to their house. So I'm not going to act like that in my mama's and daddy's house. Not going to do that. Well, how much should we act when we come to the gathering of God's people in the house of the Lord? We need to remember where we are, right? I need to remember that. I'm not talking about getting so stiff we can't, you know, love one another and joke and that kind of thing. I don't believe the Lord would have us that way, be somebody else. But I'm saying we also remember where this is at, so we treat it with the respect that it deserves as a house. This is the house of the Lord. And when you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. And I do love you, brethren. Oh, that's good.